Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On July 22nd, 2013, an English prince was born. His name, George of Cambridge, and his birth received the attention and fanfare of one of royal birth. On the day of his birth, there were over 25,000 tweets per minute about it on Twitter. One of England's most famous and important churches, Westminster Abbey, rang its bells in celebration at the news of his birth. Thousands of people flocked over to Buckingham Palace, the symbol and home of the British monarchy, to see a gold and wooden easel that announced his birth. The love and excitement of his birth didn't just end in July. However, it continued throughout the whole year. To celebrate his christening, special coins were made that were worth up to $80,000 apiece. People even recorded how much milk he had consumed, how many miles he had walked, crawled, and scuffled along, and even the number of naps that he took, which was 2,735, by the way. Apparently, Prince George likes to nap. This is how the birth of a noble should be handled and treated. Today, on Christmas Eve, we celebrate another royal birth, the birth of Jesus, the King of Kings. And as we look at the story of his birth tonight, we see a lot of unexpected things. His birth is quite different from that of Prince George. There is little fanfare and welcome for the birth of Christ, which is surprising considering who he is. There is an unexpected announcement given by angels to an unexpected group of people. With the birth of Jesus, as we'll see tonight, expect the unexpected. For a child that is to be born of the house and line of David, and for a child that is true God, there is an unexpected lack of welcome, preparation, and fanfare for this baby. Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph are going up to Bethlehem, the city of David, to take part in a census that Caesar Augustus had decreed. And when the emperor decrees something, you do it. So Mary and Joseph travel up to Bethlehem to take part in the census. And we see that there is no royal treatment for this child's parents. There is no escort or protection for this couple as they make the 90-mile journey on foot or on donkey. The United States spends $3.7 million per year to protect our ex-presidents, but there is no one to guard or protect this couple as they make this long and dangerous journey. And even though Mary is pregnant, she's forced to go with Joseph. And when they finally make it to Bethlehem, there's nowhere to stay. The inn is all booked up and there is no rooms available in the city. They are forced to stay with some animals in a nearby cave or stable. This isn't exactly the most ideal accommodations for a king to be born in. And if it couldn't get any more hectic for Mary and Joseph, it's time for her to give birth while they're there. She doesn't get a private wing in a hospital like Catherine had for Prince George. Instead, her roommate is either a cow or a donkey as she is giving birth to the most important person ever. And when he is born, there's no announcement at the temple or no kings to come and greet him. Instead, they place him in a manger. Can you imagine placing your precious newborn child in a crusty, wooden, old, splintery manger? Imagine if that had happened to Prince George. This isn't exactly the most ideal welcome or prepared arrival for the King of Kings, is it? And as we move on in our text, we see an unexpected announcement. Imagine this scenario. Perhaps you might have done it yourself as a teenager. A high school boy named Jim wants to take the car out on Friday evening to hang out with his friends. And as he asks his parents to borrow their car, they of course say, "No, we don't want you out that late. And besides, those kids are a bad influence on you anyways." So Jim devises a plan. He waits for his parents to fall asleep, and then he takes the car keys and he takes the car out while they are asleep. He's going to show them who's boss. And as he does this, he feels exhilarated. It's a thrill to him. And as he's coming up to an intersection, he decides to gun it. like a Hollywood action star. And as he does so, he collides into another car. And when he gets out to survey the damage, he sees the front is all smushed up like an accordion, and there are fluids gushing out of the bottom. When his parents are alerted to come and get him, he fears the worst and starts to prepare that "I'm sorry" speech in his mind. And when his parents come, they greet him with a hug and a smile, and they say, "Son, you've been through a lot lately. Let's buy you an iPhone and that video game system that you've been pestering us for." Shocked, Jim says, "What? I just ruined your car. Why would you do this for me? I don't deserve any of this." They say, "It's okay. We'll fix this problem. Don't worry about it." Pretty unexpected, huh? Pretty untrue to life, wouldn't you say? Or is it? Listen to what Luke records. He says there were shepherds outside of Jerusalem the night that Jesus was born, and they were watching their sheep. All of a sudden, an angel comes to them, and they were filled with great fear, and the angel announces, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The sinful humanity, who've messed up time and time again, unexpected news is given, like Jim received, to a sinful people who followed their own ways and desires, and rather than God's, a message of peace is given. It's not a message of terror, but one of great news. It's not a message just for the important, the intelligent, the righteous, or the religious elite. It's for all people. And it's a message that a Savior has come who is none other than Christ the Lord. And it's the Lord himself who saves us. It's not some prophet or some other holy person. It is he himself who takes on our sin and the punishment that we deserve for it. It is he who dies in our place so that we might not die eternally. It is he who died to make death just a blink of an eye for you and for me. He rose for us so that we will one day live with him eternally and rise again. He kept his promises that he has made. He kept them when he made them to Adam and Eve, and he kept them that he made through the prophets. And he keeps those promises that he's made to you and to me as well. Even though we don't deserve his grace and love, he promises to show us them through Christ. Even though we don't deserve a Savior from sin, death, and the devil, he always promises to be that for us through Jesus. Even though we don't deserve him to be with us and to answer our prayers, he does so through Christ our Savior. To sinful people like you and me, the message and announcement of the angels is unexpected good news. And there's one more unexpected thing about our text. The audience. Luke records that the angels announced this message of the Savior first to shepherds. Instead of his birth being first announced to priests, the Sanhedrin, Sadducees, or Pharisees, it is announced to some lowly and insignificant shepherds. We don't even know their names. Instead of it being first announced to kings or government leaders or to even Caesar, it's announced to some people who occupy just an ordinary profession. It would make sense for the religious leaders to know first, since they are looking for the Christ and proclaim God's word. It would seem logical for the kings to know first, since they could meet the King of Kings and know the one who gives them their power and authority. But instead, it's announced first to shepherds. And the fact that it was announced to shepherds shows that this gospel and proclamation is for all people. It's for the mechanics, nurses, teachers, accountants, prisoners, policemen, and addicts of this world. It's for the poor and the rich and the tall and the small. It's for the lonely, the widowed, the depressed, the hurting, and the sick. This message is for you. For we all need this proclamation of a Savior. We all need what he brings, deliverance from sin, death, and the devil. We need his rescue from sin, its deadly effects, its condemnation, and the separation that it creates. Through faith in Christ, you are saved, and I am too, because of his death and resurrection for you and for me. The audience of this message is unexpected. It's you. As we have seen tonight, there are a lot of unexpected things in the story of Jesus. There is an unexpected lack of preparation and welcome, and an unexpected announcement given to an unexpected audience. With Jesus, we can expect the unexpected as sinners, life, salvation, and forgiveness. In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.